Hope you're having a great Wednesday afternoon, as we might start to see a little snow flying around the province. Maybe some rain, snow, but Saturday still looks okay for the West Final. The BC Lions coming in to Mosaic Stadium against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. But should they have put a roof on Mosaic Stadium? Here's Daryl David.
Double Take with Daryl Davis.
Still a lot of roof anger.
Apparently.
Should I buy tickets if there is a roof on it? Would you pay the power and heating bill for the months and months and months that it's cold and you need it to have it a multi-purpose facility?
When they built it, I was a taxpayer, and I'm thinking, okay, I can handle that. I'm not a taxpayer. I sold my house now, so ahead. Put a roof on it. You guys pay. You taxpayers look after the heating and the cooling that goes along with it, okay?
It was you and I. Who are we talking to in Vancouver?
Well, I forget who it was. The numbers. I can't remember what they are, Jamie. You should have warned me about this one.
Vancouver.
Yeah. Sorry?
That was Vancouver.
Yes. Yeah.
The heating and, yeah.
And they were, it was, it's that crazy. Bill every month is six figures.
Yes. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. The heat and cooling.
Massive.
The rain.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is, I mean, we don't really need a roof here because they've hired a reptile coach who doesn't feel cold or heat, right?
Is that what he says?
Corey Mace, he just wanders around in shorts all year long.
He wasn't in shorts today, I don't think.
We he was in sweatpants. Britton reported that he was in sweatpants.
Nice to be with him the other day, guys. I enjoyed that.
Corey Mace?
He stayed half an hour. We all appreciate the guy, right? He says he appreciates us, and I think he understands the jobs that we do. I appreciate that. And I enjoyed your interview with him, and I give you guys pats on the back. It was an enjoyable listen for half an hour.
That's the thing with Corey. When he took the job, remember, Daryl, his opening news conference, he said, this is everybody.
Yeah.
And he pointed at us, the media. He's like, I know you guys aren't a part of it, but you're a part of it. And it feels that way from the players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not too long ago, was us against the world and everybody outside and what the fans are saying and what the chat crew, we're us against the world. Yeah. Screw you guys. And it does not feel that way the last two years.
Never been disrespected in there, which speaks highly of, they're free to think whatever they want of us, to duck interviews, whatever they want. But I've never been questioned, never been cornered. And it makes it delightful to deal with them, right? Even if they're unhappy with something you've written or said, we appreciate you. Corey Mace says that over and over again. It's part of the, as you said, part of the promotion. Even today, I asked him what the difference was between this team and last year. Last year, they weren't ready to win in my mind. This year, I think they're ready to. He says, last year we were really geeked up, but now this year they understand everything that goes with it, including dealing with you, right?
Well,
it's part of it. It's part of
dealing
what they
with
have
Locker
to
is a lot of work.
I was pointing directly at Locker when I said that too, right?
I know.
You're going to have to go to a half hour show with Locker somewhere this season, and here's what you need to do. Here's the book.
So for me, just dealing with a guy that can only, like, when you're dealing with sport coaches, anybody involved in sports, there's only so much they want to share. Right. There's this unspoken rule about what they're going to give up. Right. And some coaches in the past that I've dealt with involved in that side of the business they're antagonistic about it.
Yep.
Corey, there's kind of a wink behind his answers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's refreshing for me because You don't have that angst going into an interview with him.
No.
Like, because he knows he's getting the kicker question when he comes on.
Yep.
But he can deal with it in such a way that we can all kind of have a little bit of a laugh with it.
He's got a sense of humor about things, right? Which is so important in this business, too. What you guys do,
my goodness.
Right? I was always told, my dad actually told me this, and I think Corey does the same thing. Treat the subject seriously because people are going to take it seriously, but you don't have to treat yourself that seriously.
Yeah.
And he's really good at that. He's like you say, Locker, that little wink that he throws at you, and
you can hear it. You don't even need to be in the room with them. You can hear the wink.
The running gag with Britton asking the injuries every day. He's very touchy, very coy about the injuries, right? But he says it with a chuckle and you kind of go, okay, you're right. Yeah. Who's, like when Jamie asked him, who's going to kick? Oh, I know who's going to kick.
instead of getting mad about being asked the question, right? Because they're just doing their job.
You're right. Yeah.
Right. So you can be angry about it, but it doesn't serve the point at all. Right. Because Daryl can't go down there and not ask about the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. That's your gig.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience will be upset if Daryl doesn't ask about the kicker.
Yeah.
So you can give him whatever you want, but don't be angry about the fact that you had to do that.
Yeah.
And,
you,
and the fact that
he accepted the job and he understood what came with it, what the parameters were. Yeah, he's really
good. I'm a
good
fan. Okay, Daryl Davis.
Okay.
What's your ideal playoff forecast?
Jamie, you know, I've been to, what, 37 of the last 38 Grey Cups, I think. Is that what it is? I've lost track. And my favorites, I sit down, where was that? Ottawa? It snowed? Where was
that the Ricky Ray Grey Cup?
Yeah. No.
With Shania Twain on the dog sled? That was Ottawa.
Ottawa. I sat down and I said, all right, a classic. Just like my favorite game ever is 96 in Hamilton?
96 in Hamilton.
Absolutely my favorite. The league was teetering on total disappearance. It was so broke. That game saved the league. You talked about the Eddie Brown kid, the disputed Flutie fumble, pinball, and I think was Cunningham ran for Toronto. They each had return kicks.
Yeah.
Ronnie Lancaster went steaming by me so angry at the end. I never have gone down to the field level before the game ended except that one year, and Ronnie comes by. Usually Ronnie would nod at me. He looked, glared right through me, and I thought, if I was in his way, he's bowling me over because that disputed Flutie fumble went against his
Edmonton, right?
So
couldn't believe it.
It was.
That was a fumble
but
100% of the time.
Too bad we didn't have review, hey? But see, it's legendary now because of that. It's just such a great thing. I love the snowy games, guys, and I know that I get to sit in the press box, but I have gone out a couple times when it snows and sat out there for a while just to enjoy
that Ottawa game.
Yeah.
Daryl went outside and watched because I remember you came in and he was covered in snow. He was like, I'm going outside to watch this game.
Robbie Fry and I, the agent and I, went out and sat we found a couple of seats. It was pretty close to sold out, but we found a couple of seats and sat there and just it was beautiful out there, and I love doing that. Just and watched part of the halftime show, right? Because it's better sound than it is in the press box. I know everybody says, it's a press box. You're working. It's hermetically sealed sometimes. But if you get to go sit out there and you're not there for 3 hours freezing your tail off, it is beautiful. So my perfect weather, no wind, a nice light snowfall over the course of the game. Not really cold, but just a nice game. And you still get the skill level. That skill level in 96 was astounding.
All right, we got football weekend in Saskatchewan. Daryl wants to weigh in on the Hardy Cup final, the Huskies and the Rams. You got the Canadian Bowl.
Oh, boy.
And
high school football all over the place.
High school football. Friday Night Lights in Saskatoon with Miller against Holy Cross. And maybe a little bit as we'll put a bow on Game 7 of the World Series with Daryl Davis next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. It's a double take with Double D, Daryl Davis here on the Green Zone with Jamie and Locker. Let's go to the breaking CFL news today. Ryan Dinwiddie hired away from Toronto. The Ottawa Redblacks make him the general manager and head coach as Sean Burke moves to VP of football operations.
Surprising. Although that rumor had been around for a little bit, I still have some concerns about Dinwiddie, but he won, you know, his personality and whatever he does. It doesn't seem to mesh all the time, but he won two Grey Cups, right? What else is there to do for him unless he moves up to general manager? And Pinball won't really give up that title, I guess. And John Murphy, who I still think works there, the personnel guy, isn't going to give up any power. We know what he's like, that he'll stab Dinwiddie in the back every chance he gets, as he's done with coaches all around the league. So when that happens, you think, you know what? I'm going to move somewhere else and try a new opportunity. He's also had Chad Kelly, the quarterback, hanging over his head for the last couple of seasons. And I wonder about that. You know, he's stuck up for Chad Kelly, but does he really want him? He's had to put up with that idea for a couple of years. Can he play? Will he play? So there's a lot of uncertainty in Toronto. I have no problem seeing why he would leave. And, you know, with Ottawa's a decent franchise with good support, and I think he got a better chance there.
Mike O'Shea to Toronto?
That's a certain possibility, too. I know you guys have been talking about that one.
Yeah. Darren from Rosh Percy, he calls the pregame and postgame.
He brought us the gigantic steaks.
Tomahawk
for the
steaks.
He texted us immediately.
Yeah. I'm Darren, like, you want to put that on the board? Well, in my heart. That's good. Yeah, that's the best steaks of all time, man. And if Darren says it's going to happen, it should happen.
So I wonder, it's tough when you're not involved in an organization, you're not there. You're not seeing the day to day, but it's not hard to have a sense of what things might be like. Mm-hmm. I mean, like outside looking in, come on, the Leafs are a mess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
come on, that group is just not, there's some problems. And you can kind of tell, I mean, Jamie alluded to it as well. He's like, that Argos, that's top team.
Yeah.
Right? So
you don't know where you're practicing half the time.
Yeah, they switch from Mississauga to Brantford and back and forth. How tough is that? Ottawa's got a good, solid ownership, good, solid stadium, and a support group in terms of fans and things. Toronto, I hope they do well because you can't lose the Argonauts in this league. You can't lose a team in Toronto, but Ottawa is a lot more
stable. They got some work to do.
And he's now the general manager, so it's tough to argue with that. He's got a promotion, right? He's in charge of personnel. He gets the final say in it. And Sean Burke will be finding the players, but Dinwiddie still makes the decisions on them. So I think that's what he wanted and probably what he deserves after winning two Grey Cups.
Football weekend in Saskatchewan, Hardy Cup, Canadian Bowl. You watch the Hilltops come back and beat the Thunder.
Oh, man.
The Rams lose their star running back ahead of the Huskies.
Yeah, I still can't believe all credit to the Hilltops, but some of the penalty calls against the Thunder late in the game, a pass interference call that set things up, the poor Thunder, right? They had a great season, and I thought that they were the team. Those teams take turns beating the other one. Whoever's in first seems to get knocked off sometimes. Good for them. It's a great rivalry. Two good programs. Watching Marshall Erickson, the all-star running back for the University of Regina Rams, go down, and you thought, who is that? We're watching and watching the game, and you think, oh, anybody but Erickson. Then they haul him off and hobble him off. They got Christian Katendi, who's a great running back. Ran for 228 last season in one game. Great fill-in. He'll step in, and the Hardy Cup's going to be a great game in Saskatoon. Two great programs, once again, handled by two great coaches. And then there's a West final, apparently, here. Is it the BC Lions coming to town, I think I heard?
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, 3:30.
3:30 on the air?
Comfort food was the hint from Belton Johnson for the tailgating tip.
We might need it. What's the weather forecast?
Minus six is the high, and then minus 15 is the low. So we're thinking no snow, clear skies, light wind.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can handle that. I'm looking forward to that game. I think they're the two teams that need to meet somewhere along the line, and I want to see how they handle each other. It's going to be a good one.
This guy's watched a lot of baseball. Was that one of the greatest World Series ever?
Yeah, I feel sorry. I was starting to feel for you Blue Jays fans. Everybody was cheering, because I hated the Dodgers, so I wasn't cheering so much for the Blue Jays as against the Dodgers. But if there's been a better, more entertaining baseball game in the history of the sport, I want to hear about it, because that is absolutely astounding what happened. The poor Blue Jays, that's painful. They had it, and just didn't close it, so... I don't know. And you and your Hoffman diatribe. Poor guy.
Did you hear him on Friday?
Yeah, I've heard
him. Before the game?
Yeah.
I told you he was going to.
Hoffman's going to lose them a World Series. And what happens?
Loses them a World Series.
I couldn't believe it.
It's the only prediction I got right all year. 0-29 up until that point.
All right. Yeah, it was an amazing series. And I still don't want the Dodgers to win ever. But. Maybe let's have the Brewers and the Blue Jays meet next year, and then I'll be cheering for every single pitch.
Shane Bieber, good idea?
Yeah, getting him back, I think so. Okay. It's a pretty good rotation. Somebody said, is it the best in baseball?
No,
the best rotation in baseball just beat them.
It's the $1 trillion that they spent in Los Angeles.
Yamamoto, that's a legendary performance coming in relief. The day after he threw 96 pitches, right?
He went 96-34.
Wow. And he lost no velocity.
Unbelievable.
Like he was still firing like 96, 97.
They said he slipped a little bit. He lost a mile per hour.
Yeah, his slider was 91 instead of 93. Yeah. Oh, shucks, when everybody else throws 87.
When I coach again baseball, I'm going to show tapes of Yamamoto and how he throws. That is the absolute perfect style, and that's why he can throw that many innings. Exciting, great pitching.
That is a double take with Darryl Davis. Of course, he'll be here on game day 3:30 for the Green Zone pregame show. Hope you're having a great Wednesday, and thanks for spending some of your day with us here on the Green Zone. As we get ready for football weekend in Saskatchewan, early starts Friday night, the 6A High School Provincial Championships. Might be a snowy one, actually, in Saskatoon for Miller against Holy Cross. Then all those provincial high school champions Saturday, the Hardy Cups on Saturday, the West Finals on Saturday, and the Canadian Bowl in Saskatoon at SMF Field. With the Hilltops.
Quick pop quiz.
Oh, no.
What percentage of this province will be playing or watching football this weekend in Saskatchewan?
I'm guessing around 95%.
I was going to go like 55%, but
95% of the province is going to consume some sort of football
this weekend. Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure of that.
It's a lot of football.
Go Devils, by the way, in the 4A nine-a-side championship in Humboldt. Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone. We had the pleasure of being joined by Tommy Stevens and Jaden Dahlke of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as they get set for the West Final on Saturday, and started off asking Tommy Stevens if his starting quarterback, Trevor Harris, is he really telling the truth when he says he got to treat this game like any other game, even though it's the one to get you to the Grey Cup.
I think it's just Trevor. Trevor's dialed like that. And I mean, this week's been no different as far as, you know, his preparation and how he's gone about this game. I mean, obviously the stakes are higher. I mean, it's hard to say that they're not, right? And, me personally, this is my first time ever being in the second round of the playoffs. So, I guess it means a little bit more, but as far as overall preparation and getting ready to play a football game, which is what we're doing, it's still the same.
I got a question about how you stay focused on the sidelines. I mean, if you're going in and out, if you're a regular member of the offense or the defense, I can see it being a little bit easier. But if you're sitting there waiting for that 3-1, I mean, how do you stay mentally prepared, guys?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I think it can be a challenge, sure. But I think overall, going through the week and preparing as if you're the starter is helpful for that. You're able to, understand what we're doing, at least offensively. And, whenever a play is called, I'm going through those reps just mentally. So those are kind of the things, I guess, that I do that help.
Yeah. Jaden Dahlke, you, of course, your first chance at the pros was with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You've seen the season end at the hand of you-know-who a couple of times that are no longer in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Here's the opportunity for this team, this core that has grown. What is this moment like to potentially get where you start? The build-it thing that Corey brought in last year, that now that it's almost built, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a... I think we've all felt like the steady progression within like the culture of the locker room and around the building, but it's just very excited. And I think a lot of guys feel very honored and privileged to be where we're at now, going into what we know are harder and harder games. So, but being able to earn a first round bye was, I think, very few people on our team have ever experienced that. And like, as it got closer to reality, they're like, guys, like, this is going to be a game changer. Like, we just got to make sure that we get the work done, get that, because we'll be sitting like in an optimal spot. So now I think everybody's realizing that, and I don't think anybody wants to squander it.
We've been bouncing around the weather conversation today with the Green Zone listeners and talking about what the perfect playoff football weather is. And Jamie's the snow guy.
I don't want a blizzard.
You don't want a blizzard, but like you want a little bit of snow.
A little bit of snow.
And I'm like, I want that like -5, not much of a wind chill. The ground just sort of crunches underneath of your feet. Have you guys got an opinion about what the perfect playoff football weather is? And this might be varied because we got an Indianapolis boy and then we got an Alberta boy.
The last time I played with like heavy snow on the field was my last year in university, and it's kind of ruined heavy snow games for me, because I don't know if you've ever put on cleats and try to walk around in snow, but if it's not like freezing and it's only like -7 and it's just got a bunch of snow, you have like 2 inches of snow that's just built up and stuck in your cleats. So that's ruined it for me. So honestly, like anywhere from -7 to -10, that's ideal for me.
Okay.
Tommy?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I mean, I've played in one snow game in the CFL, and it was basically exactly that. It's, you know, you feel it in your toes and your hands. But, man, I want us to use it as an advantage. You know, let's use our home field advantage as much as we can. And if it snows, it snows. Like, whatever it may be, I don't think those guys want snow. So, yeah.
I mean, well, we've been talking about kitties. Yeah, that's what we've been talking about is – will it have an impact on a team who's in Vancouver who plays in a dome or not? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think they generally still, they only play the games, right, in the stadium. But so they are practicing outside. But I doubt they're getting the same prairie weather that we do.
The wind tunnel that comes into Mosaic Stadium.
Coldest game you've ever played in?
It was -22.
Okay.
Yeah. That was in
with a
Saskatoon.
Yeah, that was Saskatoon, Griffith Stadium.
Griffith Stadium, yeah, U of
at
A.
The wind chill.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that. Mine wasn't that. -22, I promise you that. It was probably in that -10 Celsius range, probably. Right. I'm guessing. But
Yeah. Was that a university? Or
no, that would have been that last game of 23 when I was in Calgary against Winnipeg. I would have to check and see what the actual temperature was, but it was cold, I'll tell you that.
Of course, nearing a sellout, I'm going to ask the defensive player first. When you're at home and it's a sold out crowd, mm-hmm. what's can you see it in the opposing offense? Like, they're getting to them.
A little bit of frustration at times for sure. It is a benefit, but throughout the week of practice, like as a defensive player and you're playing at home, you know that the crowd's going to get loud. So like you have to prepare for how you're going to communicate different checks or different like calls as well. But it is always, it always feels like they come up at the big times, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, they get a delay of game, they have a false start, and it's kind of like it almost resets the drive. Like if they try to do hurry up or anything, so I definitely think that it's a momentum swinger.
I can't recall what game it was, but it was. I didn't know they changed the rule on comms in the helmets for the defensive players, and this was the first season they had it. But I think it was C.J. Revis went like this before a snap, covering his ears.
How many guys?
He's got think there's 7 or 8 of them on defense who has the comms.
7 guys with the headphones. Okay.
Yeah, and it's not like it's all coded. So somebody up top presses a button and it just gives the play call. So it's just so that there's only so many signals that you can do before people can you onto it, and so there's different teams where we'd have billboards to like block the signalers, so we're able to just hit the play call, the guy up top hits it, and then you'll have a couple guys and on the back end that'll have it, and then a couple of linebackers and one or two D linemen that'll have it, so that way it's less communication and you're able to get a call in quick. But
you can tell the crowd was in Saskatchewan, was like C.J. Revis. They're all like, what's the call? What are we doing? But on the offensive side, how important is the noise on Saturday for Nathan Rourke?
Oh, yeah.
A quarterback who's trained to call out offense and audibles and things.
Yeah. I mean, especially in this league, there's nothing more frustrating than pre-snap penalties. Penalties that happen before the play even starts that's a quick way to be off the field, right? And so, it's just as important as any aspect of the game, in my opinion. I mean, it is a crucial piece to, our success. And, I think that Rider Nation has been awesome. And at least in my first year of experiencing it, it has been awesome to be on this side of it versus the other. So,
because when you were in Calgary, there were some loud games here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was always tough. It was always tough playing here, and it was always loud no matter what, like regardless of how many people may have been here. I mean, it may have been a low end game. Maybe that you guys were used to. Maybe it wasn't as to your standard, but man, it was still loud. It was still loud. So it's a crucial piece. And even the offensive guys when they're on the field, I mean, we can get energy from that. So it's a huge piece.
I love it when it gets louder when there's penalty gets called, and then they're like, "Let's go!"
Quick question, Tommy, for you and celebrating. When you make a big play, you're an exciting player to watch. But do you think about it ahead of time, or is it complete intuition?
Yeah, I tried to. I remember back in college, I was like, man, I need something that's like kind of my own. Yeah. And I was like, man, I'm just not really that creative. So I was like, yeah, whatever ends up happening on the field is purely just what I'm feeling in the moment, with exception to the spike when I score. Like that was planned.
Okay.
And the goal was to pop. A football, maybe it'd be sweet, right? Yeah. Like so,
might be cold enough.
Might be cold
this weekend.
Maybe gotta find a rock, take a small rock, boom. Yeah.
So was when you are rehabbing recently, like what was it like when the doc finally said, Tommy, you're gonna be good to go for the West Final?
Oh, it was awesome, and that was kind of the. The vision, I guess. Once I figured out that I was gonna be down, is because I was pretty shocked. Like, I didn't think that I was going to miss any time. I thought it was just, normal wear and tear. I mean, because it happened early in the Edmonton game, finished the game, and wasn't really. And honestly, like there's actually a muscle in my back that I pulled in that game as well, and that hurt way more than than the leg. So I was shocked. Obviously disappointed. I mean, missing time is never fun, and you know, anybody that's been hurt will tell you it's a pretty isolating feeling being in there when everybody's outside. It makes you really appreciate football, and so so it was tough.
You guys got together as a team to watch the semis on Saturday. I'm wondering, what was the menu like?
Yeah, Corey said they're going to get fed well, so
yeah, brisket, chicken, mac and cheese.
Come on.
I think that.
There we go.
What the else they have? That was the main for me.
Yeah,
brisket, little bit of mac
brisket,
and cheese.
Brisket, mac and cheese. That's what I was looking for, too.
Jay, correct me if I'm wrong. Was your family Rider fans in Alberta?
Yeah, well, my parents both grew up in Saskatchewan. And
right.
then when they graduated and they moved from Prince Albert to Red Deer. So then my uncle growing up, I got more into watching NFL because Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, those are tough not to watch.
Yeah.
But then if we were watching ACFL, my Uncle Tyler is still to this day, his rec room in his basement is painted all green.
That is Jaden Dahlke and Tommy Stevens getting ready. The Riders just announced they have fewer than 1,000 tickets to go for the West
what
final.
What day is it again?
It's Wednesday today.
Okay, all right. We've had some problems with the days. So Wednesday, Thursday?
You thought it was Wednesday yesterday.
And you thought it was Tuesday
I thought it was
today.
Tuesday today.
So
what day is it going to be in our heads tomorrow?
The time change has messed the show up.
Friday? We moved our days back rather than an hour. Not even supposed to do that.
So we're done. It's going to sell out. You better get your tickets. Oh, and the 50-52, the deadline for the early bird is tomorrow at 5. That there's a Costa Rica trip up for grabs, so make sure you mention that. That
all inclusive. I think it's for a trip for 2 7 days. If you need an extra, if you don't, I'll gladly join you in Costa Rica.
I get to go.
Yeah, I need. I can show them around.
Okay, all right.
You have it down pat in Costa Rica. You go to beach in the morning.
I can get
stupid hot.
I can
and
get
then you go to the waterfalls
tours.
In the afternoon where it's shady and there's waterfalls. Then you go back to the beach in the evening. That's it. Don't go to the beach at 2 in the afternoon. That is a bad idea in Costa Rica. That is where sunburns happen.
I'm giving scooter tours.
They'd rather probably go surfing than see you face plant on a scooter. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, an update on our chump yesterday, which is Netflix and, the Jake Paul. So an update on that. Chump is now Nate Diaz for accepting the match for Jake Paul.
What are you doing?
He's making money.
Stop.
Netflix is making money. Everybody's making money off these stupid fights with Jake Paul. That's just that's how the world works.
So
they're making money.
Champ, Gedfest, I was part of this. I hosted this a couple of weekends ago. At the Exchange in Regina, Ged, Gordon, Edward, Downey. It was a festival that started in Calgary 8 years ago, and it just is started to expand across the country. 6 markets now. Regina, this was the first year. They raised over $15,000. I did the check presentation today.
Right on.
For the Cancer Foundation of Saskatchewan. So I wanted to thank everybody involved in that and helping raise some money.
Well done, Locker. And all those other people involved in GetFest. Yeah. 15 grand for the
first
cancer.
Time here? That's huge. That's a lot of money.
Can't wait for next year.
Yeah.